The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I'm excited to let you know that as myself, John Breach, and Ryan Wilson recap a Thursday night football game between the Falcons and the Panthers, in which the Falcons won 25-17. Obviously, the Falcons covered. They were dogs, and the under somehow hit. You can actually watch all of these podcasts. Every single Pick Six podcast, not just on YouTube where you can watch it, but on the CBS Sports app. In the biz, they call that OTT. That means what, Ryan?
Over the top.
I was hoping you would say off the table. Yes, it means over the top. It's like a secondary screen situation. In the CBS Sports app, if you bring up the drop down and go down to video section, there's a whole Pick Six pod area. If you watch this podcast and you consume CBS Sports, the app on any type of device, throw your boys a bone and go watch a couple episodes on the video OTT version. It will help us out. It will make us look good. Our bosses will be like, how are these guys so popular on the internet? It's amazing.
By the way,
look us up. And of course, you can get the app at any of your favorite app locations. Like, is there anybody who doesn't have the CBS Sports app? That would be crazy. Right?
Out of us or anybody listening? No,
it's a great app.
It is a fantastic. My wife, who only follows sports about 20% of the time, she gets all her sports information from the CBS Sports app. And I didn't even make her do that. She had it before I met her.
My orthopedic surgeon.
That's a good place to get it. look, it's an awesome app. It's the best for tracking scores during games. It's the best for news updates. And you can watch us. So go get it. Falcons 25, Panthers 17. Matt Ryan was the top fantasy performer with 17 points, also equaled by Curtis Samuel. Didn't see that coming, as my son likes to say. Who was thrown out? Who hit Teddy Bridgewater? You know, I'm not going to.
It was Charles Harris. I was waiting to see if you're going to interrupt me again. And yeah, you did. So Charles Harris.
Sometimes I get a little spacey and I forget things.
Then you keep talking. You keep talking though. That's the weird thing.
That's what I do. You should see my brother. He really keeps talking.
Does he have his own podcast I can listen to?
Yeah, no kidding.
It's called Two Brinsons, One Cup. but this game was threatening to be entertaining the entire time. It was never good. They scored early. I have no earthly idea how the under came in. This should have been a smash over. They kicked a bunch of field goals. Nobody could execute in the red zone. Todd Gurley is slow as molasses and washed up and playing in his home state. Shout out Tarboro. And the Panthers looked poorly coached in a way that we haven't really seen from Matt Rhule since earlier in the season, and were very unimpressive. They weren't prepared for the Falcons' blitz at all. The Falcons' defense sucks. How are you not ready for that? How do you not scheme against a possible blitz? Throw short routes to your playmakers. DJ Moore wasn't involved until late in the game. Not a very impressive effort from the Panthers. They kind of stink at home on Thursday nights over the last couple of years. I know it's a new regime, but geez.
Well, I think the big thing here is that me and millions of people at home tuned into this game for the sole reason to watch the Falcons blow a fourth quarter lead. And that didn't happen. That was kind of a letdown. I'm not going to lie.
They tried.
And the Panthers wouldn't let them.
God, they tried.
Todd Gurley going out of bounds on third down in the fourth quarter on a pitch play, but four days after he
They only ran it so he would burn clock and he went out of bounds. Like, are we going to get like a NFL Films mic'd up where it cuts to Matt Ryan? He's like, all right, listen, just make sure you stay in bounds. And then Todd Gurley sprints left.
You think Gurley just thinks like it's opposite day? Like he actually celebrates that. It's like, go inbounds? Go out of bounds?
At least the touchdown, you understand. You're being selfish and you're getting your touchdown. Like, what does out of bounds get you?
He wasn't even trying to score the touchdown. He fell down. Like, how? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could argue that Todd Gurley was like, I kind of want a touchdown for my stats and my contract. He just ran out of bounds on a 2-yard pitch.
Imagine if the Falcons would have lost. That literally would have been a talking point for the rest of his career, that he cost them two games within 4 days. It would have been insane, but they didn't lose because, like you said, Brinson, the Panthers were garbage.
Yeah, Young Hoku missed an extra point to make it an 8-point deficit.
Young
Way Q, sorry.
It's you are a pessimist when it comes to Todd Gurley. He has currently scored 8 touchdowns, which leads the NFL. So why don't you accentuate the positive?
That's fine. Todd Gurley looks like somebody's holding his legs when he takes a handoff. He has no acceleration whatsoever.
It is weird watching him because, you know, like you're saying, Ryan, he's scoring all these touchdowns because they're down by the goal line, but he barely averaged, 2.5 yards a carry? It's amazing that
he didn't play the entire second or third quarter because he played on 70% of the snaps last week and they had to do a workload management. They're 1-6. And they're doing a workload management thing on a running back on a 1-year deal.
And Brian Hill looked better.
Brian Hill looks better. He's just better. And they're just dead set on feeding Todd Gurley because he's played college football at Georgia. That's all it is.
Brian Hill has 2 functional knees.
Brian Hill had 11 carries. I mean, it's not like they just leaned on Todd Gurley. I don't think they're playing him because he went to Georgia.
I will say this. Stephen Chia made a good point. Stephen Chia of Barstool Sports, I believe, who is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, I think. Good follow on Twitter. Smart guy. He pointed out, and I agree with him, that Raheem Morris, the Falcons should probably be 3-0 into Raheem Morris.
Oh, my God. Here we go again.
No, I'm not saying that the Falcons should hire Raheem Morris. I'm saying that someone should hire Raheem Morris.
You and Breach every week say that the so-and-so team that has 1 win should have 4 wins. I get it. They should, but they don't because they are terrible. They're a terribly coached football team. They have players that make stupid mistakes. They could be, yeah, sure. But, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys could be 5-2 or whatever. They're not.
I'm saying that someone should give Raheem Morris a look at some point this offseason. He was a head coach with Tampa and did some good stuff.
The only reason I don't agree with that, I mean, obviously it's true because if Gurley doesn't score a touchdown, they win. But using that logic with the Falcons is tough because Dan Quinn could have been 6-1 very easily before he got fired.
He'd been there for 5 years.
Or 4-1. He could have been 4-1.
Raheem Morris got jammed in a Josh Freeman situation. All I'm saying is that there's every time we write a coaching candidates post, there's 4 guys. It's like Josh McDaniels and who else? Like, oh, Dabo Sweeney. And I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Like, all I'm saying is that Eric Bieniemy does deserve a look too. Vance Joseph, Todd Bowles. And I think Raheem Morris deserves a look as well. You don't have to be some white quarterback who played for Andy Reid or coach under Andy Reid to get a head coaching look. Raheem Morris was a good head coach in Tampa Bay who's better than people think, and he's doing good stuff in Atlanta. So give him a look. He's young. Yeah. He's like younger than me.
He's coached 3 games, you know, like they could lose out. So I think he's doing a good job so far.
They're playing harder for him than they were for Dan Quinn.
Okay. I don't know about that. Yeah, just settle down with the
They're 2-1.
Who'd they just beat?
I mean, who did they lose to? The Bears and the Cowboys?
Yes, they did.
All right, fine, whatever. Let's talk about the game. We don't have to talk about Raheem Morris. Really weird pushback from you guys.
That's a weird hill to die on.
No, it's only 3 games. Raheem Morris could be awesome, and he could be a guy they need to hire.
I'm not saying he's...
Sounds like you're saying he's Vince Lombardi.
That's literally what I was going to say, but I almost said Bart Starr.
That's what I heard, Bart Starr.
I was going to say he's not Bart
Starr.
I heard it coming.
I was just trying to say Brinson. I saw the B moving in his mouth, which you could have seen if you're watching OTT.
That's right. All I'm saying is that give Raheem Morris a look. So to the game, I think this might signal the end of the Panthers' fun little flirtation with the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
What are you mad about, Ryan?
I'm not mad. I know you're just waiting for me to say something so you can interrupt with something stupid. So I wanted to make sure that you were getting ready to take a sip of water before I could talk. Go ahead, take the sip.
So I can water, talk. First of all.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make you look good. My issue started with the Matt Rule decision.
A bunch of limes. Got them.
God, you are sorry, Debo, in advance. Brinson, you are such a It is unbearable. We're 5 days away from the most important day of our life. And you
That's right. The NFL I'm trade deadline.
In Brinson.
I knew that you were worried about the NFL trade deadline. That's what it is.
The trade deadline has me on edge.
That is what's going on, isn't it?
But the real concern, I'm just going to keep talking. You can talk, and this will be a horrible listen for anyone trying to. We'll just turn it off. So if you want to interrupt me, just keep going. That's fine. I'm not going to quit talking until I make my point. For me, yeah, there you go. You muted yourself. I love that. Which you can see if you watch OTT. For me, the turning point was and Breach is giggling, which is also good. When Matt Rule decided to punt at 4th and 3, and he got called that by Troy Aikman, basically saying analytics says this is an idiotic idea. So Matt Rule hears that through his headset. Brings the offense back out there, and they run an idiotic play up the middle, and Mike Davis gets suplexed 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I like the idea going for it, but even the notion of punting there was stupid. And going back to Brinson's point about Raheem Morris, Raheem Morris kicked a field goal on 4th and 1 from the 2-yard line on the very first drive, which was also supremely idiotic. And that alone would give me pause about giving that man a job on a team that was 1-6 going into this game. That's, in a word, stupid. So, two dumb mistakes by two young coaches. They can certainly overcome those things. But you think at this point in the proceedings, at the highest level, you're not making sort of Mickey Mouse mistakes.
Those are great.
Real quick, in Greg also Rule's why defense, the game went under. In Greg Rule's defense, it was 4th and 1, I believe.
Matt Rule.
Matt Rule?
It's Greg.
I knew a Greg Rule when I was younger, and I just stuck in my head.
That was a weird sequence, Ryan, because Troy Aikman is not known as a – like a stand for analytics. And he's like, you know, the analytics, Joe, say you gotta go here, which was his polite way of saying, why is this guy trotting out the punt team against one of the 5 worst defenses in the NFL? And then he's like, David Tepper knows an analytical guy. And as soon as he said that, it was like the punt team like sprinted off the field. Matt Rule's caught some flack from Panthers fans for some decision making so far this year. He's been really good the last couple of games, I think. 65-yard field goal may be accepted, and that was the number one worst coaching decision per Edge Sports of week 7.
Wait, which one?
The kicking the 65-yard field goal.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Wait, how was that the worst decision?
Well, you tell me, Breach, how many 65-yard field goals have been made in the NFL?
Zero.
How many 4th and 19s have been converted?
But again, if Joey Sly's hit a 65-yard field goal in practice and has proved that he has the leg, then you kick it 4th and 19.
I'm not saying that I entirely agree. I'm just telling you what Edge Sports, their win probability statistics say was the worst decision of the week. The other one, they're down 8. It's 25-17 in the fourth quarter. They had another 4th and 5 at midfield, and they punted again. And they stopped the Falcons after a first down that was a disaster where Brian Burns got Matt Ryan, but there's defensive holding. So the Falcons got a first down. And I get it, man. You want to give your defense a chance? Read the room, Matt Rule. You're playing the Falcons.
Brinson, maybe he was had a guy following you on Twitter, because as you pointed out, to that point, the Panthers had not forced a punt in 2 weeks.
They haven't forced a – did they force one? They did force one.
They did force one after
– their first
No. But they forced the punt after their punt where you're saying he should not have punted.
Right.
So he's saying there's no way we're getting a stop. If we go for it and don't get this, the Falcons are scoring a touchdown, it's game over. Our only shot is to pin them deep and hope for maybe a turnover because they had gotten a turnover earlier because – they don't force punts. This team just doesn't force punts, which is not a trait you want to have in an NFL team.
It's a defense with a lot of really nice pieces. Brian Burns, Derek Brown, Jeremy Chinn, Yetur Gross-Matos. Those guys are going to be good. Shaq Thompson is a good player, but they're not good right now. It's not a good defense. You can run all over them. Now, they knew the Falcons were going to be super conservative and run up the middle, and they did mostly, and they were able to get the ball back. But then the offensive line for the Panthers is horrible.
Mm. Well, that, and they're not blocking anyone. To your point, that you mentioned coming into this thing, I've never seen so many free blitzers rush up the middle, on what were 5-man blitzes and sometimes less than that. So I give Teddy Bridgewater a lot of credit. He hung in there. He took a ton of hits. He came back in after that cheap shot from Charles Harris.
That was off. Yeah. Charles Harris got ejected for that, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't understand what goes through your mind as a player when you do stuff like that. I mean, a lot of times these hits are bang, bang. We get that, but that was not that. That was dirty. But yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is really good. He can't do it by himself right now. He's sort of having to. They've lost three in a row, and I would imagine that C-Mac, as I like to call him, Christian McCaffrey's coming back next week. We'll see how much difference that makes. Unless he can block people, I don't know if it's going to magically fix this offense.
Or unless he scores 7 touchdowns because he's coming back against the Chiefs.
Which would still be 1 less than Todd Gurley.
That's oh! Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, the Falcons aren't good. They're not going anywhere, but they picked up a big win here. I guess it helps and matter. Is this a good win? Do you want to win these games if you're the Falcons?
Ask Arthur Blank. He was on the sidelines looking like he was ready to kill himself because he knew they were going to blow that 8-point lead.
How about his look? Puffy jacket underneath, corduroy vest? Arthur.
Hey, man, that's that Home Depot money.
that is some hot fire, bro.
They only had a hat on backwards.
I think the Panthers are a better version of sort of what we expected.
Yeah, they got 3 wins, but they lost 3 in a row. If they ended the season with 5 wins, I wouldn't be surprised if he is into the season with 7 wins. I think that would actually be amazing at this point, right?
Well, you're overrunning with 5.5, so yeah.
To start the season, had that element of surprise where nobody knew what Matt Rhule was going to do in the NFL and what kind of system the Panthers were going to run. And you get a few weeks in, now there's a lot of film on you, and obviously there's been film on Teddy Bridgewater. And now it just seems like teams are like, all right, we figured it out, and your defense isn't that good. Good luck.
Let me ask you this. Let's say that, and this is not in any way, or let's say for whatever reason, Marty Herney steps away from the Panthers, and you have your choice. You can either go to the Atlanta Falcons, you're a potential GM candidate. You can either go to the Atlanta Falcons and pick your head coach and run the Falcons organization, or you can take over the Panthers and work with Matt Rhule. Which would you pick?
Who is the GM right now? Oh, Marty Herney. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I'm probably going to Atlanta.
Marty Herney, who has been hired, fired, hired again on an interim basis, hired full-time, been on the hot seat, and then retained.
Who would you say Breach?
I'm probably going to Atlanta. I wouldn't be comfortable if I'm a general manager going to, I think Matt Rhule, what do you get, a 6-year contract?
Yeah, it's a long deal.
So he got, and it's worth a ton of money. So it's not, you know, I know that David Tepper's rich, but I don't think he is going to be firing him like 3 years into that deal. And so you're locked into your head coach. And I don't know if I want that for 5 years as a general manager.
Let me put this to you, Breach, as I always do when we talk about kickers. If you're taking the Falcons job, who's out there besides Raheem Morse?
Jason Garrett.
And Eric right. Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy is, you know, at the top of the list. We don't know how good or bad coach he is. He's done really well under Andy Reid, but we said that about Doug Peterson, so we don't know. But so who would be your top 3 targets?
Marvin Lewis.
That's right. Not even funny. Marvin Lewis might be the next coach of the
Brian
Bengals.
Chuckled.
Marvin Lewis might coach the Bengals next year, pal. This is not a Bengals podcast, not an Andy Dalton podcast.
I think I would take the Panthers job. You have to be comfortable with Matt Rhule, obviously, and you have Teddy Bridgewater for 2 more years. Even if you have a high pick, you can contemplate taking a quarterback. So you have a little leeway there. The Falcons situation is a little more tenuous because you don't have a coach, and how much longer are you hanging on to Matt Ryan?
Right. You can't really cut Matt Ryan this offseason. I think if you come in, I mean, it's great that you get your pick of head coach. I'd rather take
– I don't know if that's great because, again, who are you taking? And I know they're like Josh, whatever, Josh McGann's will get that. He sucked in Denver. He hasn't had a head coaching job since. So even if he's
quit on the Colts before he started, I mean,
quit on the Colts before he started.
You could steal Joe Brady away from the Panthers.
You could, but again, I mean, I would feel more comfortable with Matt Rhule, who I at least have a year of work on to know what he is and is not capable of. And he's done some good things. I mean, again, he blew the fourth down call, but Jim, every coach does that.
Jim Zocchi mentioned that Joe Brady thing today on the Panthers pregame show when I was on with him through my weekly hit with the Panthers. Here on some WFM.
That's a humble brag sound drop. Sound.
Yeah, still a humble brag. Yeah.
You need a sound drop for that. Excuse me.
But I think that Joe Brady dream died tonight with the Falcons. Yeah.
As you pointed out,
he's 30 years old.
But where did he go to college? Does anyone know?
William & Mary.
Oh, interesting.
And young coaches I think can't succeed. We know that because of Sean McVay. Where'd he go to college?
Miami.
Yes.
I think the Panthers are a slam dunk if you're picking this
year. Not a slam dunk, but I mean.
Yeah, I don't know about a slam dunk.
There, I mean, let's see.
Yeah, I think you have a better chance. I think Matt Rhule is probably a good head coach.
I will agree with that. And I like the idea of building with Teddy for two more years if you have to.
You have a quarterback who you can work with, and then you can go out and draft another quarterback.
Their defense will be better sooner.
The Falcons basically have to roll with Matt Ryan. Julio Jones is not a spring chicken either.
Although we didn't mention this, by the way, but Calvin really got hurt early in that game and didn't come back. And that's his foot or ankle or something. It didn't look great. So we'll have to wait and see about that. That is a long-term issue. But just
if we were betting whose defense will be better over the next 3 years, Panthers or Falcons, I would put $1 billion in the Panthers. I would take any bet you want over the Panthers. Tell me the terms. I don't care. I mean,
you're not giving an argument for me on that. Reach likes the idea of not being tied down to Matt Rhule and likes the idea of hiring his own coach.
Well, I think if you're a general manager,
Zach Robinson with Andy Dalton as an offensive coordinator.
It's Zach Taylor. I messed up your coach. Taylor. You messed up my coach.
Unless I wanted you to hire the PFF guy.
Or the ex-quarterback.
I gotcha.
That's Debo's guy. Quarterback. No,
Zach Robinson's a real person. Jeff Rhule doesn't exist.
Greg Rhule. And he does exist. He's Breach's friend.
He's like, Breach is like in a laboratory piecing together a Frankenstein of Greg Roman and Matt Rhule.
Greg Roman. I'll hire him if I'm the Falcons GM.
And by laboratory, I mean your basement.
By laboratory, you mean lavatory.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Do we want to talk about anything else? This game is a perfect.
You said low-key. Low-key, you don't need that word, that adjective to describe
this game. This game sucked. This game was a perfect appetizer for the absolute dog crap we have left on the primetime slate.
No. Week 9. Do you know what the game is next week? Don't look.
Don't look,
Breach.
I'm not looking. Hands up.
Bengals?
I'll give you a hint.
It's not the Bengals.
Last year, this NFC team got whooped twice by this team, even though everyone.
It's Packers. Packers, it's the 49ers. Packers. 49ers.
That's a good game. At 49ers.
That's next week. I'm talking about the rest of this week.
Talk about week 8.
Thursday night games. That's what I thought you meant.
Sorry. Oh, no. I mean, we have Sunday night football is Eagles, Cowboys.
Debo will be excited about that.
And then Monday night is a Buccaneers Giants game that may or may not be played because of COVID. And then Tuesday night, I don't know if you heard about the primetime affair on Tuesday night. Huge. Yes. Battle Royale.
Biggest ever. It's huge. Biggest ever.
What is the biggest?
The Fox promos to the election are incredible. They're like,
they're awesome.
Tuesday night doubleheader. Trump, Biden, we will be there to break it down.
What is the biggest name that could get traded by the trade deadline on Tuesday?
Will Fuller.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. The Ravens should trade for Will Fuller, but I think that the Packers have been mentioned as a possible destination.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Or the Patriots. I want the Patriots to trade for Will Fuller and Adam Thielen.
I want the Cowboys to do something crazy because, look, they suck, but they're not – they have 2 wins. They're pretty much in first place. They're half game out. So, and if they win on Sunday, they're in first place. They don't need to mail it in. Make a crazy trade.
If you like to plan ahead, we'll be doing a Tuesday trade deadline podcast. So put it in your calendar.
If you guys could compare the Falcons Panthers game to a piece.
Devo just slacked me to promo that.
To a piece of Halloween candy.
This is getting to be a weird brain melt. And by the way, it is sad. It is really, 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 really sad when Breach he's so desperate for his own personal reputation of picking Super Bowl teams. He has bailed on Andy Dalton, wants Ryan Fitzpatrick in Dallas.
Fitzpatrick.
So the Cowboys can possibly make the playoffs. You'd be like, you know, I picked the Cowboys to make the playoffs in 2020.
I'm on the Fitzpatrick train.
I hope the Bengals trade Joe Burrow to Dallas Cowboys for a second round pick. Just so Breach can win. Win his bet.
Breach is like, The breach bot is self-aware. He's pulling trade.
Oh, but I asked you guys, what Halloween candy would you compare the Falcons Panthers game to?
Oh God, I did that thing last year. I wish I kept that. You know, I ranked the
candy. Oh my God, did we go? We went for like an, what night was that? Was it Halloween night?
It was around there because I had a top 10 list and I went off.
That was an hour and a half podcast where we only ranked Halloween candy.
I can tell you that I was not there because I was like, hey guys, you know, as always, keep this pretty tight. And then I get back and it's like a 103 minute file.
And that's where you guys ripped me for comparing Lamar Jackson to a payday.
Debo went trick or treat and came back and got a trick.
Fantastic comparison.
I will say that I think that this game, Falcons Panthers, is a Milky Way. Where you're like, cause you're like, oh, I kind of like the construct of what we're talking about. This could be a shootout, high scoring affair, fun Thursday, sneaky fun Thursday night game. I'm going to try this. And then you take a bite and you're like, this sucks.
That's pretty good.
I like Milky Ways.
I think for me, it's like, it was like Pixie Sticks. Like it's this little thing and you're like, oh, this could be good. And then you open it, all the powder gets everywhere, and you're like, this sucks, I'm over it.
I'm trying to find it. I need a list of, I'm going to go with,
or fund it.
I'm going to go with, licorice. Licorice sucks. Licorice sucks on the outside, sucks on the inside. Going in, you knew it sucked. You take a bite.
No, it was 52. No, licorice is like Cowboys Eagles Sunday night.
No, I want to see the train wreck that is the Cowboys. So I'm looking forward to that.
Train wreck television.
So what candy is that game?
That's like Pop Rocks. Like the, you know what's going to happen, and then it gets even crazier once you take it.
Or like a warhead.
Never had a warhead.
Never had a warhead?
Mm-mm. Or it's like, you will? Yeah, they can't do these anymore because of, you know, COVID. And I don't know if people did these anymore, but remember you go trick or treating and like you run to that one house, like some, like grandmother had like done a big thing of popcorn and put like a bunch of like popcorn in little paper bags.
Oh yeah, you can't.
You're like,
can't,
what do you gave me like 8 kernels of popcorn? Are you kidding me? Like what am I doing out here grinding through these houses to get candy and you're handing out popcorn?
You couldn't do that 40 years ago because I remember my dad was like an alarmist about everything. He would say, razor blades. That was the one. I'm like, if you're it's making like, the popcorn.
We get it. You watch Fox News, Dad.
Not back then. I don't know what he's watching back then, but yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
So watch out for razor blades, kids.
We had a,
no one's going trick or treating, Ryan.
We had a family in High Point that did they had a soft serve ice cream machine.
Now that's money.
Yeah.
You can't put razor blades in soft serve ice cream.
Lined up for like a block and a half. You'd have to stay. It was like going on like a Disney World ride to get into the Covington's house, which is the Colors house. One of the two. You're like, I remember exactly where it was, like lined up outside their house around the block. And you have to sit there and wait your turn to go get some soft serve ice cream.
You know what beats soft serve ice cream? Margaritas. Are kids allowed to drink that? What's the deal? Halloween, is it legal?
You can drink Shirley Temples.
I don't think I fully understood just like I think in hindsight, like my dad was probably slamming beers all the entire night on Halloween.
Of course he was. What do you think he's doing?
I didn't what do you know think until dad I did? Started being a dad on Halloween. It occurred to me. I was like, this is great.
You're like handing out candy. The only way you're going to survive tonight is pounding. Beers.
Yeah, I do not like passing out candy. I'll be honest with you. So I'm sort of okay.
Germaphobe.
I don't think I've done it.
Yeah, because my wife used to take the kids anyway, walking around the neighborhood. So I would stay there because I definitely didn't go walk around the neighborhood. It's just weird, like seeing people you don't know and giving them stuff. Like, I'm all right with that.
Brenton, do you hire a guy to hand out your candy? Seems like something you would do.
Just throw a bunch of crappy candy in a pumpkin and toss it on the front porch and turn the lights off.
Turn the lights off. That's something that's, I would do.
That's how you get.
We sort of live on like a, like the end of our street is a dead end. So it's not like, and there is a circle you can get through, but it's not like a super high traffic area.
Yeah. I'm down with that. That should be the first thing on the to-do list when you're looking for a house. If you don't want people to come
by. That's literally the reason we moved here.
Cul-de-sac it up.
So we have a trade deadline recap that we'll have next week in the podcast feed. We have a trade deadline preview with JLC if you want to check that out. Great information there. Of course, our Best Bets podcast is in the feed. Debo, some people want it at 8 a.m. No, Debo's a tease. He puts it in at 10 a.m. And do you guys know what our record was? Me, Kenny, RJ, and Pete last week in our Best Bets?
Out of 4 people?
Yes.
4-0.
Let's say the total of games was
24.
24 games. We picked 24 games between the 4 of us, 6 games each.
18-6.
I know the record because Debo told me it before the podcast, and I am not going to guess. I'm recusing myself.
20.
It is impressive.
So 20 wins, 2 losses, and 2 ties.
That's pretty good. Who had the 2 losses? Parlay,
Pete and I went 6-0.
Did you?
Higher.
Yeah, you've been pretty hot the last 2 weeks, ATS.
I've hit 2 first round leaders in the last 2 weeks too, in golf.
I got, in case
there's a crash coming.
In case you're wondering, I'm on some little Twitter website as a sharp now because I'm crushing my ATS, my against the spread pick. So again, speaking of crashes coming, don't even think about betting.
You're like 28 games above 500. What side is it?
I don't know. I have to go look it up on Twitter. I didn't spend much time on it because I didn't want to pay it any mind.
Right. But not spend much time. You mean print it out and show it to your wife immediately.
Yeah. She's really pumped about
the fact.
Yeah. Oh, this is what you do all day. Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's it. That's the Thursday night recap. And I hope Halloween is better than that game. We'll see you again. Check out the Best Bets feed. Chock full of, actually actionable Friday bets. There's a ton of weather this weekend. Crazy weather in possibly Cincy, definitely Cleveland, definitely Buffalo. Where else?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's one more. Chicago.
All the best bets from Brinson's podcast for tomorrow will be in the newsletter. Subscribe to the newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
Check it out. Yeah, oh, yeah. Sorry, Breach. We should promote that at the top of the feed. But you know what? Somebody didn't put you in the rundown. Can't help you there.
I like the bottom of the feed. That's my spot.
That's fine. Subscribe to the Pick Six Podcast newsletter. John Breach writes it 4 days a week, which when you say it out loud, doesn't sound that
impressive. A little weird.
But he does a great job with it, and it's awesome content. See you guys on Sunday.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.